Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AskMe People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Let's ride.
Time for the words that are recited before each and every game here at Dodger Stadium. Take it away, Finn.
It's time for Dodger Baseball.
What's up, Dodger fans? Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Incline Dodgers podcast. This is Kevin Klein speaking, trying to get as many podcast episodes in before I'm off to Europe. But your Los Angeles Dodgers keep on winning. They're 33-17. I like that number, and even 50 games. I'm so excited to be joined by Jeff Spiegel, main host, I guess you could say, president of Dodger Heads of Dodger Blue 1958. Jeff, so thank you so much for coming on. Welcome to the show. Want to pass it off to you. Let's get your thoughts on the Dodgers right now.
They're very good. No, it's a privilege to be here. Like you said, I host a show called Dodger Heads as part of the DodgerBlue.com family. Not the president, but I'll take it momentarily. But yeah, I mean, look, the Dodgers, it's an awesome time to be a Dodgers fan. And as crazy as it sounds, this team that went out and spent $1 billion this offseason actually feels like they're meeting expectations so far.
They really are. And for me, there's Shohei Ohtani, who's doing Shohei Ohtani things. He's living up to the contract, the hype. Teoscar Hernandez has been phenomenal as well. We'll talk more about them in a few minutes. But for me, the biggest thing they had to address was the pitching. And 50 games in, I am just thrilled with what we're getting out of Tyler Glasnow, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, James Paxton, three new faces that are just dominating for the Dodgers rotation. And then Gavin Stone has really flourished as his true rookie season with the Dodgers. And then of course you've got Walker Buehler coming back, and it sounds like we should be getting Bobby Miller in just a couple of weeks, depending on how rehab goes. So Jeff, let's get your thoughts. The Dodgers pitching, they good? They for real? Is this just a mirage?
No, it's totally a great question. I agree with you completely. This was the top priority over the offseason, was to address this. And, you know, I've said on my show, I've kind of owned up. When Glasnow trade was made, the injury stuff really scared me. I had no doubt about kind of what his potential was, what his ceiling looked like. But as we heard more about the injury history, as they signed him to an extension, my tone shifted. But even at my best, I didn't expect this level of production from Tyler Glasnow. And, you know, and especially with a fairly clean bill of health, like the people that are injury experts kind of say, hey, you're not going to have to worry about Glasnow's elbow. You know, you can look at the innings pitched in his career and be worried, but that doesn't actually reflect kind of the health of his elbow. So you've got that. And then you've got Yamamoto, who signed the biggest contract to pitchers ever signed. And again, take that Korea start out. He's got a sub-3 ERA. It feels like he's really settling in, kind of command honing in, keeping in mind that this is a guy that's throwing with a different baseball. He's in a completely different country, in a completely different culture, and he's a 25-year-old rookie, to see the performance he's had so far. So those two guys, to me, I mean, I know the highest expectations, but at the end of the day, the Dodgers long-term are going to sort of rise or fall with the front end of their starting rotation, and Glasnow and Yamamoto are the two guys that sort of are going to carry that flag.
100%. And I've been saying it all season long. If we can get those two you just mentioned, plus Buehler and Miller in some combination, I feel really good about those being our four playoff starters. But they have some good insurance policies. James Paxton looks like he's legit. And then maybe if Gavin Stone continues to just carry on what he's doing, you can probably trust them in the postseason as well if they need to make a start or two. And then we didn't even talk about, because there's just so many guys coming back, wanted to get your thoughts on Dustin May. Looked like he was throwing today.
Yeah.
Do you think they should bring him back as a starter, or do you think bullpen makes more sense for Dustin May? Because it does seem like he should be coming back this season.
Yeah. That's, you know, you cross your fingers that the health holds up and that he is able to make a return. I think sort of August is the hope for Dustin May. But I was on social media today, and you look at the Dodgers pitching staff, and I know everybody hates me for saying this, but it's possible they're going to have almost too many starting pitchers when they get to the end. And I know injuries will come, and we're not rooting for that or hoping for it, but it's just the numbers game. But there's a scenario where you've got Glasnow, Yamamoto, Bobby Miller as your 1, 2, and 3. And I would say that's a pretty clear 1, 2, and 3. And then you're having to decide whether Clayton Kershaw or Walker Buehler gets the ball in game 4. And then you've got to figure out, what do we do with James Paxton and Gavin Stone and Landon Knack, who's been very, very good. And then Dustin May is kind of in that mix as well. So just doing the math, I think what they'll probably do is they'll do their best to bring him back as a starter, see if you can get him built up. But I think at the end of the day, barring like a catastrophe in which 3 or 4 of the 8 guys that I just mentioned get hurt, I could see Dustin May being a, you know, absolute weapon out of the bullpen. 2 innings, max velocity, nasty breaking stuff. And just kind of using, you know, and people want to make the Julio Urias comp and what he did. But keep in mind, like, Dustin May's stuff is way nastier than Julio's was. So yeah. I know Julio played up in that role as a reliever, but Dustin May would be an entirely different weapon just because of the quality of his literal movement and stuff.
Definitely. And it's going to be interesting with May, because the last time he came back from an elbow surgery, the mechanics were off and it took him the offseason to get right. And they kind of, I think they may have rushed him back as a starter. This go around, I would like to maybe see him as a 1-inning guy. I think he could thrive in that role. He has the endurance to go maybe 2 innings plus in the playoffs if this situation dictates it. And then in terms of just the relief pitching, it sounds like we have a lot of guys coming back as well. Yeah. So you mentioned it just a minute ago about it being a numbers game. There's only 26 spots, 13 for pitchers. I don't know what they're going to do when all these guys eventually get healthy. Brustar Gratterall is starting to throw, but it still seems like he's a bit of ways away. Joe Kelly will eventually return from his injury. On top of that, Evan Phillips should be back in just a week to maybe 2 weeks as he recovers. There's a lot of reinforcements for the Dodgers on the way.
Yeah, Ryan Brazier is another guy in that group who you would sort of throw in that category. And yet, all these guys, since they've been gone, the Dodgers have the best bullpen in baseball. So, like, are they really going to look at, you know, sort of the Michael Grove type players who have been very, very good for the last month and a half and say, hey, thank you for, you know, your 60 days of service, but we've got to clear a space for a guy like Ryan Brazier, who maybe there's still some questions about how sustainable it is. So I think it's a great problem to have, especially because a lot of these guys like Grove have options and can get moved up and down. They've been relying on some guys who have been on and off the 40-man roster. So I think when you start filling out the bullpen, I mean, realistically, if you get to a point where Michael Grove, Alex Vesia, Ryan Brazier are like the three quote-unquote worst arms in your bullpen, I think that's a really great place to be for the Dodgers. And I said at the beginning of the season, one of my bold predictions was that the bullpen was going to be like elite, elite, elite. And I looked really, really stupid for the first month and a half. And then their best relievers got hurt. And then they kind of became an elite bullpen. So I don't know if I was right or wrong, but I would like to think that when all these guys get healthy and you have Phillips and you have Trinan and you have Hudson, who's looked very good, and Vesia, who's looked very good, Gratterall, you know, those five guys, that's like most teams would love to have 2 or 3. If you have those five with then a guy like Michael Grove, a guy like Ryan Brazier, I know I'm missing some folks somewhere in there, but like those guys as Joe Kelly, as, you know, your 6, 7, and 8 guys in the bullpen, that's when you're starting to talk about a group that you can have some confidence in.
Yeah, you're looking like a genius right now with your bullpen call. They're doing an exceptional job, and they're just bringing in new faces. It feels like every other day. Anthony Banda has been pretty awesome so far. We'll see what the recent guy they picked up. I'm already blanking. Yon Ramirez or Cano. It's been a long day for me, but I know they just acquired him from the Mets. So we'll see what he's got. And then not really a surprise because we knew he was good, but maybe the forgotten man, Daniel Hudson, has just been awesome for the Dodgers. I think people kind of slept on him being a non-roster invite, but they knew what they were doing when they brought him back. His whip is just ridiculously low, and he's closing games right now for the Dodgers while everyone else is on the IL.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Well, and Hudson had a stretch where he started to look not that awesome. And you're like, all right, doing the math, you're like, okay, this is a 37-year-old guy who it's not arm surgery. So I think that needs to be said. When somebody misses time from a knee, you feel differently than a guy who misses time because of an elbow or a shoulder. But there was a couple rough outings, but like you said, on the whole, it's been great. I was just pulling up his Savant page, 99th percentile in walk rate. And then he's in the 80th percentile or higher in expected batting average, expected ERA, whiff rate, and strikeout rate. So those are elite, elite numbers. Now he's giving up hard contact. But I think from as far as swing and miss type stuff, that's kind of what you tend to bet on as far as sustainability goes. And again, it wasn't an arm injury. This guy's been good every time he's been healthy enough to pitch. Whether he can stay that way at age 37, we'll see. But to your point, it's been encouraging over the last couple of weeks for sure.
Yeah, and then the other guy who I just saw his name getting mentioned in the chat, JP Fireisen, off to a slow start, but it looks like he's starting to turn the corner, even though I know he just got optioned a couple of days ago. But this is a guy that they do, I think, view as a high leverage person if he gets right. And I am curious to see if he just goes on a hot streak. He's another guy we can count on in the postseason.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, look, if the Dodgers trade for a guy knowing that he's going to be burning a roster spot for basically, I mean, not a 40-man roster spot because he gets moved to the 60-day, but they had to use a 40-man roster spot sort of until spring training. Then they could put him on the 60-day IL all of last year knowing that he was going to be out and then knowing that it's going to take him a few months to get his legs under him this year. That tells you what they thought of this guy. He had a ridiculous stretch with the Rays. If you want to go look at what a dominant reliever, I think it was like 21 scoreless innings or something like that. So he has that in him. It's been nice to see over the last few weeks, him start to find some success. Cause I always wanted to hold out hope that the Dodgers are going to be able to unlock that. And I tend to believe, hey, be patient with guys coming back off injuries. This is probably why I'm the last guy to jump off of the Gavin Lux bus, because I'm like, he's been out for so long. I'll just be patient. Give the guy some time to get his feet under him. But I mean, Fireisen's another one. You're not talking with Fireisen. You're not talking about like, oh, maybe this guy can be like a Phil Bickford sort of like low leverage kind of guy. Like the Fireisen ceiling is elite back end of the bullpen guy. Whether he gets there or not, we'll see. But last few outings before being sent down were definitely encouraging.
Yeah. So my final thoughts on the Dodgers pitching staff before we move on. The starting staff, if they hold up, they don't need to add an arm in that department. Yeah. I think we're good there. Maybe they add one high leverage guy come trade deadline. But I think given the current state of the Dodgers, we might actually see them ship out starters and pitchers to get in prospects or maybe a bat come deadline. I think Landon Knack, big picture, it's hard to see him find a place in this Dodgers rotation if healthy. And he's just pitching himself into a situation where teams are going to find him very attractive. And I think the Dodgers maybe could sell high on Landon Knack.
Yeah. I mean, look, because we did the math on there's eight guys who could potentially be healthy at the end of this year, potentially being the operative word. And you've got Gavin Stone, you've got Landon Knack in that group. Well, keep in mind that next year, Shohei Ohtani, the pitcher, is going to come back. Yep. You've got Tony Gonsolin, who's expected back at some point. You've got two prospects in Nick Frasso, who might be healthy, River Ryan, who could be ready, Emmett Sheehan, he's out for a long time this year. So the only guy, like I just named 12 pitchers, basically the only two of those guys who are potentially going to be gone are Walker Buehler and James Paxton. They're the only two not under contract. So there's a scenario where you have all these guys, and yes, I know you can't have too much starting pitching. A lot of those guys have options, but I don't think it's crazy to say, could they actually trade out of, you know, a Gavin Stone type or a Landon Knack type to acquire an outfielder if that's the direction they want to go, or to acquire a bullpen arm, something along those lines. I don't think it's crazy just because of the current logjam, as well as it's not getting any less logjam. Roky Sasaki, I didn't mention, if they go get him for next year. I mean, they could have a surplus of starting pitching, and that's where their prospect capital lies as well.
This episode of the Incline Dodgers is brought to you by TickPick. Are you looking to score some sweet deals to see the Dodgers play some baseball? No service fees at checkout if you download the TickPick app. Are you an avid concert goer like myself? Well, I use TickPick all the time to score awesome concert deals to see my favorite bands live in concert here in Los Angeles. But you don't have to limit it to just LA. TickPick is all over the country. So if you're living wherever you live, download the TickPick app and see what events are going on near you.
It's a good time to be a Dodgers fan, it looks like. Yes, night sir. And day versus the pitching of last year. Yes. So there's two MVPs, and I think they both happen to be on the Los Angeles Dodgers. I think right now it's a race between Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtani. Jeff, where are you currently leaning?
It was funny. I was on a show earlier today, and somebody asked a similar question, and I'd love to get your thoughts on if you agree with this sense, but I think Mookie Betts has a dramatic edge over Shohei Ohtani, and here's why. And this is like if all things considered equal, like if both guys continue to play at a similar level, I think Ohtani just inched ahead in the WAR department over Mookie Betts. But here's the caveat. People have in their mind with Shohei Ohtani that what makes Shohei Ohtani special is that he also can be one of the best pitchers in the world, right? And he's not pitching right now. So I think people are actually going to knock Shohei Ohtani a bit. Yeah, it's a great season, but he's a DH and he's not even pitching. So, like, can we really give him the MVP? Whereas on the flip side with Mookie Betts, he has the opposite thing going for him. They're going to be like, Mookie Betts is amazing. Holy smokes. He's playing shortstop too. Like, he learned a new position. He's playing it competently and he's doing. So I think Mookie's almost going to be graded on a curve where he benefits. And I think Ohtani's going to be graded on a curve where it actually brings his score down, so to speak. And so that's why I think if things stay similar to where they are, I would lean Mookie Betts. All that said, as I was digging up information for that conversation, Shohei Ohtani's currently fourth in Major League Baseball in home runs and is hitting .353. That's the best mark in baseball. So if he hits 50 home runs, which was another one of my bold predictions at the beginning of the year, and then hits like .340 plus, I don't know how you don't get the MVP if you do that. So I'm kind of contradicting myself. I would lean Betts because of the shortstop narrative versus the Ohtani's not even pitching narrative.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of with you, and I think that's how the voters might sway. They probably will be convinced that because Mookie Betts is playing a position that he's very unfamiliar with, he might get the edge. But if I'm looking at it through my lens, and I have to pick one bat right now, I think it has to be Shohei Ohtani. Yeah. You already speaked about the batting average, .353 leading the National League. The OPS right now is just insane, over 1,000. The 13 home runs, the 33 RBIs, the 11 stolen bases. I feel like if the Dodgers were missing one bat in the lineup, the impact of missing Ohtani right now would be bigger than missing Mookie Betts, just based off production alone, not name recognition, not name value. Yeah. And so that's why I think I have to give the edge right now to Shohei Ohtani.
I agree with your assessment that the bat is more significant for sure. And what's crazy about Ohtani is he almost does it in a way that you don't notice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't believe he's hitting 353. Like, not to say that I haven't been dramatically impressed about how amazing he is, but it just doesn't feel like he's one of these guys who is, I mean, he's dominant. I'm trying to figure out how to put this, but like, he does it in such a low key way that you almost look up and you're like, I knew he was really good, but man, like, fourth in home runs, hitting 353, leading the league in slugging percentage. Also, it's dominant without sort of like being so in your face. And maybe that's just because the expectations for Ohtani are so high, but his numbers are just bonkers.
Absolutely. And I think we finally really got to see the benefit of Shohei Ohtani hitting in front of Freddie Freeman in the most recent game when Freddie Freeman connected for a grand slam.
Yeah.
I think we were waiting for that big hit, and we finally saw it from Freddie Freeman. I guess this is for you, Jeff. Maria G, food question, ramen or pho?
I'm a big ramen guy. I would lean here. It's no disrespect to pho. Pho is very good, but give me ramen.
I'm going to go ramen as well. I think it's better. Okay, so my final topic for me, and then if anyone has any good questions, I'll throw them your way. We're still a little bit of ways away, maybe a little under 2 months, but it's never too early to start talking about All-Stars.
Yeah.
I want to get your general thoughts on who should be representing the Dodgers for this upcoming All-Star game.
This conversation I actually find really fun, because I'll preface all this with, I am not an expert at like what every other guy on every other team is doing. I just know Dodgers. But first of all, it's the Dodgers. So, you know, they're going to err on the side of more guys getting in than less, because when it comes to a vote, the Dodgers are just going to win a lot of votes, even if sometimes their player doesn't deserve it. So I think for sure, Ohtani's an All-Star. For sure, Mookie Betts is an All-Star. I think Freddie Freeman probably wins the vote and ends up being an All-Star. That's my guess. I think Will Smith is an All-Star. Mm-hmm. So that's four. On the pitching side, I think Glasnow's for sure an All-Star. Those are the five that I would feel confident in. And again, I want to emphasize, first of all, people are down on Freddie Freeman. The guy's hitting 300. He's hitting like 298 and everyone's panicking. And he just hit a grand slam the other day. So I'm not saying Freddie Freeman is the best first baseman in the National League. Yeah. I'm just saying, I think he's going to get voted in because he plays in LA and he's Freddie Freeman. So I would say those five, like I would place a wager that those five guys get in. Do you disagree on any of those five?
I do. Someone's playing a new position this year at first base, Bryce Harper. It's hard for me to not see him winning that spot right now. If you look at his numbers, they're pretty damn good, and the Phillies are pretty popular. But I do think Freddie Freeman will get in as a reserve at the current pace he's going. And then I don't think you mentioned his name. Maybe you did. Teoscar Hernandez. I think he deserves to be an outfield, maybe an outfield reserve right now, just given his numbers. I think he may have just lost it, but he was leading the National League in RBIs just a couple days ago. I think 36 RBIs, if I remember correctly. And he's got the home runs and the run production. Don't look at the other stats. The on base could be a little higher, but he's getting a job. He's getting the job done with runners on base. Pitching wise, I think Glasnow for sure gets in. Yamamoto, I think, is on the cusp.
Yeah, he could borderline.
He could get in if he continues this hot pace he's going. And then he got hurt, but maybe he works his way back. I think Evan Phillips has to be an All-Star if he gets enough innings and reps under his belt.
Yeah, I think Teoscar is going to be the guy who loses out because of all of the other Dodgers that are already in. You know, this is the classic, like, the Rockies need to have someone on the All-Star team. And so it's at some point it ceases to be who are the best players. And it's like, well, how do we fit the jigsaw puzzle together to make sure that there's a Rocky on the team and there's a Pirate on the team, that kind of a thing. I would say, other than the five I mentioned, I would say Yamamoto would be the guy that I think would be the sixth if the Dodgers get there. Because and look, I mean, a week and a half ago, I think you could have made a case for Max Muncy. He's playing great defense and was hitting the crap out of the baseball. So I think like Muncy, Teoscar, Evan Phillips are the three guys I would describe as outside looking in, barring something crazy happening. But I would say the five I started with, and then I think Yamamoto is probably 50-50 for me.
And yeah, I forgot to mention his name, and I know you mentioned him. Will Smith will get on the All-Star team.
Yeah.
He's got a battle right now with William Contreras of the Milwaukee Brewers. I don't know how dedicated Brewers fans are to voting, but it'll probably be between those two for that all-star catching job.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you. I think if Smith doesn't get, I think he's in a spot where even if he doesn't get voted in, I think he's going to be on that list no matter what.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Jeff, was there anything else Dodgers related you wanted to cover before we got a game to go watch?
Yeah, seriously. Dodgers Diamondbacks. I mean, I guess I'll ask you one question. As far as the division goes, the Diamondbacks currently in fourth, mm-hmm. Padres in second, Giants in third. I think somebody in the chat was saying that the Giants may have lost, or I missed it, whatever's been happening while we've been here. But like, who are you most scared of? If anybody, I shouldn't say that. I don't think we're scared of anybody. Who do you think finishes second in the National League West?
I'm a little more nervous because the last couple of years have really scarred me. And these were teams I thought we were going to for sure beat. And then we didn't in the NLDS back-to-back years.
Yeah.
To kick off the season preview, I said that the San Diego Padres were going to finish in second place and probably be the, well, I guess I also had the Giants being. So I had the San Diego Padres being in there as the fifth seed. I think they are still the biggest threat to the Dodgers. Nobody's going to catch us for the division, but yeah. Just the way the format rolls these days, it honestly doesn't even matter if you win the division or not. You just have to be one of the hottest teams entering the postseason dance. So yeah. For me, I think the Padres are actually, big picture here, I think they're the second biggest threat to the Dodgers in the National League overall. I think the Philadelphia Phillies are the biggest threat. You just look at what their pitching's been doing as well as their offense. They've got four really good starters. And then, of course, Bryce Harper, Kyle Schwarber, Trey Turner once he comes back. Yeah. Alec Bohm's been good. And then the San Diego Padres, I would say, probably are the second biggest threat. They're probably going to enter the postseason just barely above 500, but they've been playing us tough. We know AJ Preller has one job, and that's to assemble a squad to beat the Dodgers. So far, mission accomplished, I guess, because the Padres celebrate regular season wins more than anything. But Machado's not even going. Bogarts has been a huge bust, but yet they still seem to find ways to play the Dodgers tough.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the Padres are the second best team. I don't think they're a threat to the Dodgers, like we were saying, in the division. But I just think they have enough talent that if those guys figure it out, I wouldn't. That would be the team I'd be most worried. I still have the Braves ahead of them just because of all the guys that are struggling, but Phillies and Braves, I would say. I'm fine putting the Padres third on that list.
And we know that AJ Preller loves to make a big trade. He got Arias pretty early on, but he's going to be willing and dealing probably closer to this trade deadline.
Yeah.
I don't know what names are really going to be out there yet. I know that we did get a question on Instagram since we have time, maybe I can get to it real quick. Yeah. Coming from Javi 791, coming closer to trade season, who's the key players the Dodgers got to let go?
Yeah, trading away. The Dodgers, I don't think it's going to be anybody of substance. Like, I think the biggest guy who could get traded, I mean, I suppose everyone wants to talk about Gavin Lux. I'm highly skeptical that they're going to trade Gavin Lux. That's me. I mean, I guess you could say, like, is there a chance somebody like James Outman gets traded? Maybe. I think it's more likely a pitcher, and probably not one that's being a massive contributor to the major league level. I mean, heck, I could see Michael Grove, somebody like that, mm-hmm. if they just feel like they don't have room for him in the bullpen, and maybe another team says, well, we actually could make Michael Grove a starter, so there's more value there. Like, I could see them packaging a young guy who's like a fringe contributor this year, for somebody that they feel like would be a bigger addition outside of that. I don't know. That would be my answer.
Yeah, I agree with that. Michael Grove makes a lot of sense, especially if a team wants to give him another opportunity as a starter. I already mentioned Landon Knack. Miguel Vargas, he's a big one on the fence. Can he find a role with the Dodgers? He's in the lineup tonight. Let's see what he does for Los Angeles. And then guys that haven't really appeared at the major league level yet, but Diego Cartaya, always a question mark if he's going to be a trade asset. So those are probably the big names I've got. And then the final question, Jeff, and then we will sign off. Coming from Jonathan with an X in his name, does it concern you that the Dodgers are too reliant on Ohtani and Mookie?
It does not concern me. We just mentioned that we think there's like potentially six all-stars in this lineup when everybody's healthy. I think you're the reason somebody would even suggest they're so reliant is because those guys are so good and they get paid lots of money because they tend to be consistently very good. The irony that you would be so dependent on fill in the blank and not mention Freddie Freeman or Will Smith, I think answers the question. I think the Dodgers lineup is the deepest it's been in a long time. I think there's a clear top three, then there's a clear four, and then I think there's a clear five and six in Teoscar and Muncy, and I like all six of those guys. And look, I'm an optimist. I still have hope in some of the guys in the 7, 8, 9 spot. You know, Andy Páez up and down a little bit, had a little bit of a dry spell, gets the home run a few days ago. So I don't mind him there. Jason Hayward, I think, is going to be able to give you some competitive at-bats in the midst of a platoon. And then I think you're just basically saying, can somebody out of Kike Hernandez, James Outman, Gavin Lux, you know, Miguel Rojas, whoever it is, like, can somebody from that group, one or two of those guys, emerge as a bat that you don't trust? Like, can you get even close to league average? And if that's the case, then, you know, the lineup is incredibly deep. So, you know, that's a long-winded way of saying I am not at all worried about being too reliant on Ohtani and Betts.
Well said. Yeah, I don't have much to tack on to that. I pretty much agree with that entire assessment. For me, the biggest key, and there's a long ways still ahead because we're only 50 games in, but someone at the bottom of the order needs to step up for the Dodgers. I think that's just been something that's stood out to me the last few postseasons, is that 7 through 9, for the most part, have been automatic outs. So yeah, if somebody can get it going, get on base for the top of the order second time through, I think that'll make a huge difference come playoff time. But this Dodgers team, they are rolling right now. And thank you so much for coming on to the show today, Jeff Spiegel. Another opportunity for you guys out there, comment along in the comments section after you watch this video, or because it's at the end, or if you're listening on the audio feed, jump on. Free opportunity to win a Walker Buehler bobblehead. All you need to do is mention Buehler's name in the comment section and you get a drawing. You do that for all the videos, you get multiple drawings. So Jeff Spiegel, make sure to check out his show, Dodger Heads. And I want to thank you again for coming on.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it.
All right. Peace out, everyone. Go.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com. This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.